Praise God. This is part two of what we have shared on financial blessings, higher financial laws in the Bible. And during the part one, which we shared last week, and this series runs right through every third Sunday. During the first session, we shared how that many times Christians have come across what we know as a law of sowing and reaping. And then they claim the laws of sowing and reaping, and some claim 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. And most of the time, we want to claim 100-fold in return for what we sow, so that whatever we sow will bring forth a bountiful harvest. But we are talking about a higher law of finance. And in the higher law of finance, we don't just reap what we sow. In the higher law of finance, we reap what Jesus sowed. And the reason for that is that in the last days, as this truth becomes unveiled to us, we begin to understand that if God were to rely just on what we reap and sow, the church of Jesus Christ may never reach the fullness that God wants it. Plus, if we just reap what we sow, there is a sense in which it is limited to our works. But grace is much more greater than works. And so in the last days, God has reserved this truth and this understanding that it is not by our works, but by the grace of God that we will be able to enter into the financial prosperity that God wants us to enter into. By all means, practice every law that we have learned financially. And those are what I call training laws to train us. But as we begin to grasp hold in the last days of that which God has, and begin to see that we not just reap what we sow, but we reap what Jesus has sown, it will be a powerful revelation that will unloose, that will loose the financial prosperity that God has determined for the church of Jesus Christ. To reap what Jesus sowed. Now, what did Jesus sow? His entire life. Everything that He is, everything that He represents when He came here, He laid at the cross and sowed for us. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, it says that Jesus was made poor that we might be made rich. And so to follow up from there, we realize that what Jesus did was to release the gospel, the good news, which was to fulfill an Abrahamic covenant that flowed right down the line when He told Abraham that all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. That's found in Genesis 12 verse 1 and 2. That all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. Now that statement is understood by Paul in a different way. Let's look at the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And see what that statement means to the Apostle Paul. What does God mean when He told Abraham that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed? All the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, in the book of Romans chapter 4 verse 13, this is what it means. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now notice the phrase there. The promise to Abraham that he would be the heir to the world. Say after me, the heir to the world. In other words, God says, the entire world belongs to you. You say, wow, how can that be? Incidentally, that is not the first time God did it. The first time God did it was when He told Abraham. In Genesis 1:26, God says that He gave him dominion over everything. And He listed all the realms of dominion. But the devil stole that dominion. And now God was working it back for man. And God chose Abraham through the blood covenant and says, I now once again give you the dominion. I now once again give you the inheritance of the world, the entire world, all the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and gold, everything on this earth I gave to you. Therefore, through that, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. See, all the blessings have to flow through him because he owns everything. Now, the promise that he will be the heir of the world was not fulfilled until Jesus came. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul expands it further and says the fulfillment of this prophecy that Abraham will be the heir to the world, when he says to the seed he will give, and the seed is a capital S, it represents Jesus. And Jesus, when he came and died on the cross, fulfilled that promise. And the entire world, through the precious blood of Jesus, now by legal spiritual transaction, belongs to Jesus. From thus forward, Satan has been reduced to zero. All his cohorts have been destroyed. And legally, Satan has no more right to this earth. That's when the time Jesus came. So Galatians 3 expresses that. Let's read some scriptures from that. And remember, it's talking about the same thing here. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 onwards. Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Same thing again, expressed differently. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You don't even have to do anything. Just because you're in Christ, you're in Abraham, you are already blessed. Let's continue. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law. See, we can never receive this promise by the law or by works. In the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's all fulfilled, signed, legally it was all signed with the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross of Calvary. And just to prove that he's talking about the same thing, the theme runs down. It says in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds and of many, but as of one, and to your seed, and Paul says, which refers to Christ in prophecy. That means in Christ, finally in Jesus, the promise to Abraham that he will be the heir of the world is fulfilled, is signed, and is transacted. And in case we miss it, he mentions it again in verse 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And the law, as Paul expressed it, was to keep us until the promise comes and is fulfilled. In other words, the revelation that Jesus Christ has sown for us and has paid the price for the entire world, and that we now reap or partake of all the blessings that Christ has bought and paid with His precious blood. There's not one single thing we need to do. In a sense, you don't even need to sow to receive. Jesus has sowed it for us. And the law of sowing and reaping was to teach us this principle. It's almost like in order to teach a child some things, you got to go through the child all the fundamentals. Like the child has to learn 1, 2, 3 to learn to count. The child has to learn ABC. And once the child learns 1, 2, 3 and ABC, what's the purpose? So that the child can communicate, can understand. The purpose of learning the arithmetic and to learn the vocabulary or the alphabet is that we would be able to form words and communicate. Not just to get stuck there. In the same way, the law was to teach us about what God has done. Now, here's an example. If we don't understand the law of sowing and reaping, would we have understood it when Jesus sowed Himself for us? We would not. So all these laws are essential. And they tell us in a little picture what God has done in the big picture. But here's the sad thing, is that many times we got stuck in the lower laws and we don't realize that there's this big law up there that has already been fulfilled. That our little law of sowing and reaping was a small picture of a bigger scene of what God has done. God has sown Jesus for us. He died that we might receive all the multiplication of the blessings from His one life. And that's the higher law of finances that God has available for us. When we understood that, our next question is, how does it operate? If it doesn't operate by sowing and reaping, since it in itself it's already been sown, how does it operate? It operates through faith. The law of faith. So let's look at Romans chapter 4, and it describes how this operates and how we can receive it. We are going to combine Romans 4 with Galatians 3 verse 14. And just to quote to you, Galatians 3 verse 14 says, Christ became a curse for us that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come to us through the Holy Spirit. That is by faith. It gives us a clue how it takes place. That the blessing of Abraham might come to us through the Holy Spirit. And he described later on in the next few verses through faith. So in Galatians chapter 4, he says in verse 13, let's repeat verse 13 again. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, when we look at the word righteousness of faith, the first thing we humans think about is our righteousness, our good works. There we go again, back to the law. He's not talking about that. If you read downwards, he says that it is the gift of righteousness. In verse 21 and 22 of Romans 4, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And here he used the word accounted to him. In the Greek, it is a word that is used in accountancy where some things are sort of accounted or credited unto you, or credited into a certain department. It stands as a credit on your behalf. And what happens when Jesus Christ died on the cross is that every one of us has received a credit in our account because of what Jesus has done. He paid it for us. The gift of righteousness. And all we need to do is to accept it, to receive the gift of righteousness. by faith. First, we need to believe that that is true. Christians through training have believed the law of sowing and reaping. Because out there in the farms, they would sow and they believe, the farmer who sowed believed that he will have a harvest. And he prays for a good harvest. So we understand the principle of sowing and reaping. And we need to exercise faith in what Jesus has done for us. And our faith must be so absolute that it rests completely in what Jesus has done. And we believe that we're going to reap what Jesus has done. So the next time you believe God for food, clothing, shelter, all your financial need, don't believe God just based on what you are or what you have or what you can do. But believe God for what Jesus has done for you. How much has He sown for us? Unlimited. And if we have faith to rise, to take what Jesus has done, God can move us into the higher realm to receive by His grace what we can never receive by our own works. Paul confirms this principle in verse chapter 5. He says here, he's on the same theme in this principle. Verse chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned, through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Do you notice? Those who receive the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Now let's have a few examples in the Bible to cement this truth into our lives. In the Old Testament, God has blessed people according to what they have sown. But God has also blessed people according to His gift. The gift of whatever covenant they have made. Now, the Old Testament has a small measure of the blood covenant in which they receive not what they reap, but they receive what God sowed for them. In the Old Testament, based on what God promised Abraham. And remember, what they did in the Old Testament, they look forward to what Jesus has done. Remember, Abraham was to be the heir of the world. And the blood covenant, the animal sacrifices they sacrifice represent Jesus. And so in principle, they were receiving the gift of righteousness, the gift of reaping what Jesus sowed. The animals that represent Jesus died that they might receive. Let's look at the most obvious, the land of Canaan. When the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, they did not reap what they sowed. They reaped what Abraham sowed in his faith. Because in no way would they have reaped what they sowed in such a huge expanse of the land of Canaan. Remember, God told Abraham, I give to you this entire land. They reaped what Abraham sowed in looking forward to Jesus. That was finally fulfilled in Jesus, in time. So let's give these examples here in the book of Deuteronomy. Praise God. Deuteronomy. And this passage that God has. Chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 onwards. And this is what God said. And it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Now look at it. God says, I'm going to give you beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of good things which you did not feel. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. God says, I will give you all these things because of the covenant that He has made with them. The covenant of Abraham. And just to cement what God has spoken to them in type in this area, look at chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Verse 7. Look at what God said in verse 7. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So He says here that they were chosen not because of their capability. They were chosen because of the blood covenant. They were going to inherit prosperity and the promised land not because of what they have done. No way. Then in chapter 8, God says the same thing to them. And then God warns them. God says, when they have entered the promised land, and when they have all the good things that God has for them, God says in verse 12, God says, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Now look at verse 14, the watchword. When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness and did all these things for you. And then in verse 17, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Whenever the people said, it is by what I do, by my might and by my hand, the moment they say that, they cut themselves off from the blessing. They are reduced to the people who have no covenant. Let me point this out again. The law of sowing and reaping is a law that operates for every human being, whether they know God or not. Yes, my friends, it even works for non-Christians who do not know God. It is as workable as the law of gravity. The law of gravity affects both Christians and non-Christians. The law of sowing and reaping affects both Christians and non-Christians. That means non-Christians who actually sow do reap too. And that explains why some of them are wealthy too, even though they don't know God. However, for those who have a blood covenant, there is a higher law. It's the law of reaping what Jesus sowed. Reaping what God has promised from the time of Abraham. And that's the higher law that God wants to bring us into. And God speaks to them and says, in verse 18, this is a beautiful verse, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to you, your fathers, as it is this day. Now, isn't that interesting that the purpose of prosperity is the covenant? So that when we are rich and we are prosperous, when we are successful and we are the head and not the tail, we can say, it's not because of me reaping what I sow. It's because of the blood covenant God has made with Abraham, fulfilled in Jesus. And in that blood covenant, I reap what Jesus sowed. You see, He says here, The reason why He prospers us is to establish His covenant. And when we are prospered in that matter, we can glorify His covenant so that all can come into that covenant and walk the higher law of God. It's called grace and the gift of righteousness. That's the story that God has in His word for us. And the Hebrew words are interesting. There's a Hebrew word, chayil, which normally is translated as army or strength. See, God gives you strength. Here the word strength in verse 18 is the word zoach, which means strength. To make you strong. Gives you the power to get well. The word power means, is zoach, which means strength to get well. And in Joshua 1 verse 8, 7 and 8, He says, He makes you prosper. The word prosper is the word sakal, which is normally translated wisdom. Now here is a wonderful thing. When you exercise faith in God, remember Galatians 3 verse 14, you receive it through the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives you a revelation, and the Spirit of God drops a spiritual substance of God's strength, and God's gift of righteousness strengthens you. The conviction of righteousness strengthens you. God's strength and God's wisdom comes upon you, and then you are able to produce the wealth according to the grace that God has for your life. That's how it operates. And so in the New Testament, let's move on into the higher law of grace. And when the Church of Jesus Christ catches a hold of this revelation, we will be able to believe God, not just based on what we have, and we are able to sow. Although I realize 100-fold is a fantastic law, but God wants to accelerate His blessings as we believe what Jesus has sown by His gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy upon our lives.